Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, and welcome to Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. We are your hosts. I'm Kim France.
And I'm Jen Romolini.
And we've both been on the road, but we're back now.
We're back. Oh my God, I missed you. I missed doing this podcast. I forgot how much, or I didn't realize, I don't think, how much this podcast grounds me. And talking to you once a week grounds me. How was your time away? It's been weeks.
It's been weeks. The tour was fun, but it was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard. Like when we tour with John Anderson, the guy from Yes, he plays like 1,500, 2,000 seat venues. And they often have like generous green rooms in the back and places to hang out. And when you arrive at a venue at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon and the kids like load in and then, you know, several hours later do sound check, you have all this spare time.
Right, right.
And on the Gibby tour, they're smaller clubs, more like right. CBGB.
Right, and, right.
Which was cooler and it was funner in a lot of ways than the John tours, but it was just exhausting, just super exhausting.
Yeah. I mean, you did a thing. You were away doing a thing that is meant for young people. And I was away doing a thing meant for old people.
Hilarious.
I was an old bitch in the desert. Once again, in a situation where I was like, oh man, I love being in a place where I am 20 years younger than everybody.
That's really hilarious.
There's nothing that makes you feel like, oh, I'm not old, than being around a bunch of 70, 80, 90, I don't know, 100 year old human lizards. It's
hilarious. I remember once reading a profile of Corinne Rutfeld, who used to be the editor of French Vogue. And in the profile, she checks out of the Mercer Hotel in Soho because she's the oldest person there and checks into like some stodgy midtown hotel. And she's like, I'm much more comfortable now.
No, I'm telling you, it's, you know, look, I know we need our lives to be generationally diverse. I know it's good to be around young people, but, you know, nobody my age, I feel like, goes out in LA. So whenever I'm out in LA, I feel fucking ancient, like just fucking ancient. And it's nice to not feel ancient. Like I was in the supermarket, I was stoned in the supermarket in Palm Springs, which is my favorite thing to do in the world because the supermarkets out there are beyond anything you've ever understood a supermarket to be. Just like aisles, so air conditioned, aisles and aisles, like just massive.
Like every kind of Kit Kat.
Every kind of Kit Kat, anything you could want. You're like, I want a grill and it has it. You know what I mean? Anything. Mm-hmm. I would like a, whatever. Like a booze section that is four aisles long. It's like a block. Anyway, so, you know, there were like, some very fabulous older women riding around in their ride-around carts, like who were regulars in the supermarket, like, hey, Eddie, hey, Mrs. T, we got plums today, you know, and I was like, this is fucking great. The lady had on like a giant hat, like she was at the Kentucky Derby, this older woman. She had a bedazzled mask and just was dressed to the nines to go to the supermarket, probably 90 years old. And I was like, I have seen my future. And I like it a lot.
It's just not so bad.
It's not so bad. I don't know. It's nice to be around older people and just be like, yep, I'm in this stage of life rather than being like, oh, I've already done that, you know?
Yeah, no, it's true. And that is kind of a hard thing about being on tour. It's fun to be around the kids. It really is.
Yeah.
But like I was watching some of them perform the other night and one of the girls like jumped off the stage into the crowd.
Right. Oh.
And sang in the crowd and then jumped back on the stage. And I was like when I was getting off of the tour bus, like that last step was killing me every time. And I was like, yeah, my body doesn't move like those bodies. I also realized the reason why, maybe I've shared this already. Like I was watching a video about how middle-aged people dance. I think it was a TikTok probably. And
okay, you have not told me how middle-aged people at dance.
I do all the things they do. They step from side to side, they point their fingers. And I realized watching the kids on tour, when they're on stage, the difference is that when you get older, you only dance by moving from side to side and you don't use your whole body.
Because you're afraid to throw something out? Is this
exactly? Or you just like, you don't do it anymore. But I was like that. Yeah, I don't. I dance like a middle-aged person, which is what I am.
Yeah, I mean, it's so easy. It's just so easy to get injured. Like I walked into a glass door, which was just a really among like the great comedy moments, like just slammed into a glass door, didn't realize it was closed. And I felt like for like 5 days afterwards, and I still have to go to the chiropractor this week, I felt like I was in a car crash. Like my jaw was messed up. My shoulder was messed up. My left hip was messed up. My knee felt off. It was just because I just banged myself. I just banged these old bones. That was it.
You can't do it. Yeah, no, it's true. And the kids, they don't understand at all what they have. They're not supposed to. They don't get that they're like, you know, and they all the girls, most of the girls dress really fairly provocatively.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one of the moms said to me, you know, I'm really torn about this because I realize this is a tangent. This isn't a direction we were going. But
right.
One of the moms was like, you know, my parents taught me to be ashamed of my body. I won't do that with my daughter. But at the same point, you know, one girl just got up on stage one night in her bra, like with, you know, a skirt.
I feel like bras are a thing. I feel like I'm seeing like all New York street style, like bras. And I feel like bras are a top now.
I think bras are a top now. But the mom said, I give you permission to talk to my daughter because she won't listen to me. And I couldn't. I didn't.
No.
I don't know what to say. I'm not a parent. I don't, you know, the kids get upset when like slimy guys come up to them after the show. And I want to be able to say to them, like, okay, it's not cool, but those guys are gonna think certain things about you if you dress this way, or not think certain things, but feel like it's okay to come up to you.
But that's not their problem. But that's just because they're dressed like that. It's not their problem.
But
men should not be animals.
No, I agree. 100%. But men are. So given that.
Right. I know. I mean, I guess in some ways, the messaging we're giving young people, you know, freedom in your body. It's not about what you dress like, you know, it's other people's problem. You know, men need to learn consent is hoping for a better world than the one we live in.
That's how I feel. So when I say that, it sounds like I'm being really awful and conservative, but what I'm saying is let's just look at what the facts are.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess, I don't know. At the same time, like I was doing some outside yoga while also Also lighting some sage.
Okay. Wow, look at you.
It was really like a whole life because no one in my family woke up until like 10. So I had like 4 hours to myself in the morning. But anyway, and I was in like downward dog and I was looking at the tops of my legs and I was like, whoa, that's a different texture than that used to be. That is not what that used to be, right? Like yeah. That is just a totally different body. And I always felt, I always had a little bit of spider veins. I always felt self-conscious about my legs. I hid them most of my life. And I don't know, like, it's the same. It's also at the same time, it's like, this is your fucking body. And it's so beautiful when you're young.
And you and they just want to no be
free
idea.
In it. And they have no idea. And you just want to be free in it. And it's like, be fucking free in your body. Like, what are we ultimately saying to them by telling them to dress better? Like, because really where this is going is where it's close to. It's not where it's going, but where it's close to is a little bit you were asking for it.
I know that. I know that.
And I hate that.
I hate that too. But I think we also have to look at like the reality of how many men behave. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not going to die on this hill.
No, I think it's very tricky and I get it. And I don't know if I had a child that was dressing like that. I don't know what kind of advice. I will tell you that the advisement I got was to be scared of men. Well, the advisement I got from my dad was always, you're not going out in that. What, you know, he would say to my mom, talk to her. Why isn't she wearing a bra? Like he was like very fucking freaked out by my wanting to be free in my body. And that set me up for all kinds of fucked up things, fear and caution around men, which made me sexually repressed in a lot of ways, you know, and made me not able to enjoy sex because I was always afraid of men being predators and, you know, I mean, all that shit, you know? Yeah. So it's so tricky. I mean, it's fucked up. And really what we should be investing is raising better men.
I agree. But I agree entirely.
Well, I'm going to switch topics if that's okay with you. I have a topic title.
Yes.
It happened to me. I choked.
You choked?
Not choked, like physically choked. I choked. I fucking choked on an assignment that I could not turn in. And then I fucking choked. I fully, for the first time in as long as I can remember, like your worst nightmare is why you don't take an assignment or why you don't do a work, whatever, do a work is because you're like, well, I'm not going to be able to do it. It's going to suck. I suck. I can't do this. And then I took an assignment that I shouldn't have taken and I couldn't do it. I couldn't fucking do it. I had an editor who was maybe a little bit too timid in editing me. And a little bit too timid in telling me this sucks. And it just went round and round and round and round until it was finally like, I can't do this. I can't fucking do this. And it was really fucking demoralizing. It was really fucked up. I could not make the thing good. And it is like your worst nightmare. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but it wasn't right. It wasn't right. It wasn't right for me to write it. It just, I couldn't make it work.
Yeah, I can understand why that would be super, super demoralizing because I do think that when you write for a living or for any part of your living, you get used to the idea that it's going to start shitty maybe, but it will end good.
Yes.
And not getting to the end good, I could see being really, but you know, also maybe they're just, well, you were the wrong writer for the piece maybe.
I was the wrong writer for the piece. I have too much going on creatively. I've realized I can't take on, I can't use my brain in the same way I used to use it. Like I have two big projects, which include like writing another 50 pages of my book and working on this other podcast project. And I'm writing all week and I can't bounce from that many, I can't bounce from that many projects like I used to. I can't creatively multitask anymore. My brain, I was supposed to, because, you know, people know that I write about work. And so people keep reaching out to me. Hey, write about work. There's only so many fucking ideas you have about a fucking topic. And I was like robbing Peter to pay Paul to like, oh, well, maybe I'll use this one over here and this one over here. And I got so fucking lost. And I spent like the first 3 days of my vacation, I was like, I've got to get this piece. I got to nail this down. And I just couldn't. And finally I had to say to the editor, I gotta surrender here. I can't do it. Sorry. Fucking sucked.
But good for you to know that. Good for you to say that instead of torturing yourself and continuing to try to do something that wasn't clicking.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's just like, it is the fear though. It is the fear when we don't, I mean, I lived through it. Here I am. But the fear is that we're going to fail. You know, the fear is like we try something new and we're going to fail. And I kind of fucking failed and it sucked. And also just like being in a time of getting a lot of feedback, like when you're iterating, right? So you're getting better. But more now than it used to, feedback, negative feedback, because, you know, feedback that the piece is not right or the project is not right is negative, right?
Right.
And the feedback is feels like you suck, you suck, you suck. You're never going to get this. Fuck you. You suck. And really, it's just that you're iterating and you're going to get better and you're in a process. But feedback as an older person, I think we've probably talked about this before, is really hard to take, and you really have to like regulate your ego to take it, because if not, you'll never fucking do anything new.
See, that's interesting. I find that I'm better with negative feedback as an older person than I was as a younger person. Mm. I think it could really throw me. And now I think like, I just know I am not a flavor for everyone. My work isn't.
Yeah. I guess it's more when you're doing something new.
Yeah.
Like I'm writing podcast scripts and I don't know how to do it. And I don't know how to do it. And I keep making, I don't know what I don't know. And so I keep making dumb mistakes. And it is a fucking emotional torment for me, because when we talked about this, the mastery versus not having mastery over something.
But you're already ahead of the game by acknowledging that you know what you don't know.
Yeah. Or I don't know what I don't know. That's Sure.
I mean, because I have always felt like doing that is a much stronger position to come from than faking it till you make it.
Yes. Yes. I'm very much like, I don't know what I'm doing. Help me. And then I try to quickly speed it up. But anyway, yes, I finally really did choke on something after not choking for, I can't believe you thought that I physically choked. Oh my God. That would have been so... No, I failed.
You failed.
I failed. I didn't choke on like a fishbone. I failed my professional life. What else is happening to you?
I don't know. I'm trying to think about what I've been watching. I started watching Stranger Things, which I've never watched.
Me neither. How is it?
It's promising. It's promising. Okay. It's spooky. It's creepy. I kind of like it. What else? I don't know. I don't fucking know.
All right. Well, I have a question for you, because I had a lot of insomnia. I had a lot of insomnia during this trip because I was drinking alcohol, which is the devil. And so I had a lot of hot flashes in the middle of the night. And I was on Instagram late into the night, just like fucking just on my phone for hours. And I realized that this thing that I have a significant relationship with, and most of my friends have a significant relationship with, but none of us know how the other person uses it. Like, I have no idea what your habits are on Instagram. Like, nobody talks about like what the fuck they do on Instagram, but I know everybody's on it for a long time. So my question is, what is your relationship with Instagram? What do you do when you're on it?
Well, I go on Instagram first. I see if anybody's written to me.
Okay.
Or if anybody's commented on anything. I only post stories these days. I don't post
posts.
I don't post posts.
Main feed.
I read.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I hate what's happening to Instagram, but hopefully they're going to move back. But what do? I look at Dumois.
Okay.
Which is a really great Instagram gossip account. I would say I spend a very small amount of time looking at my enemies and exes. Like, I'm pretty good at, like, if somebody, there's one person who still really irritates me who I follow. But for the most part, like, the hate follows, like, I've cut them out.
Okay, good.
Because it just, like, why do that to myself?
Right.
But no, I spend an enormous, I mean, I think while I was on tour, I was spending 6 hours a day on the phone.
Yes, right. That's what I'm saying. Like,
6 hours.
It's so fun. I mean, sometimes I'm on the phone with podcasts. Sometimes I'm on the phone for 8 or 10 hours a day. I mean, because they record, or like with MapQuest or what, not MapQuest. Oh my God, am I 400?
MapQuest, Waze. That's funny.
With Waze and everything. Sometimes it's like, because it counts that as time. No, because I had this just like this moment of just like I got lost in Instagram. Like I was just like, oh, that dress that dress looks interesting. Let me follow that dress over here. Oh, maybe I want this. Because sometimes it gets into a shopping like spiral pathway.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was looking at something. I was looking at Jack Antonoff at some point, and I was like, he's an interesting person, Jack Antonoff. And I was like trying to like diagnose his life, and he's engaged to Margaret Qualley.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, what's Margaret Qualley up to? And then Margaret Qualley has gotten off Instagram. And I was like, oh, what's that scandal? Margaret Qualley's off Instagram. And then I was like, my brain is broken. Once I was down that path, because I mean, I had some good times like looking up pictures of the Jennifer Lopez, Ben Affleck honeymoon, which looked like a disaster. And I very much enjoyed that. But like at a certain point, you're just like, what am I doing? Where did I start and where did I end?
When I'm on Facebook and I start looking at TikTok reels is when I feel like my head is blown off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like I can do that and I can get stuck in that for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And they're all really like, you know, they're not all really anything, but there is a lot of it's really corny and mind numbing.
Oh.
But then there's like, but then some of it I really enjoy. Like there's this one guy who goes up to people who are driving fancy cars, like Ferraris and things, and asks them what they do for a living.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is very amusing. But
I like that.
A surprising number of the women he asks do OnlyFans.
Okay. Good for them. Good for them.
Anyway.
That's one way to use your body for money. That's a good, that's actually, speaking of being young and hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
So yeah, I'm on, and I also do the spelling bee every day, the Times spelling bee.
Oh yeah. I was like, I was up at 3:30 in the morning. It's like too early to get up, but it's like, you're kind of doomed. It's a doomed hour. And I was like, I was going back and forth between Instagram and the spelling bee. And then, you know, and then I would like look up something that I had seen on Instagram. I would Google it. And then I was like, oh, well maybe I want this kind of dress now. Like just a fucking lily pad in like, Bounce, you know, with just endless.
I know.
Just anyway, but it's like Instagram is like porn. Like none of us talk about our habits on it. You know, a lot of people are on it, but I don't know who anybody looks up. Like I doubt that anyone's like, it's just my friends. I see my friends like celebrities. Sometimes I'll see one of my friends that I know really well has liked a celebrity's post. And I'm like, what the fuck?
It's true. I'm over here.
What are you doing? I'm like, what are you doing liking Hoda's post? Like, how did this happen?
I know. Well, I'm not a big liker. I think people are big likers or they're not big likers. Like I can think to myself, oh, I like that post, but I won't like it.
No, exactly.
Unless somebody has a sick child who's gotten better, or there's some, you know, where their dog died.
Oh my God. Wait a second. Oh my God. So what is it that you like? So what's your liking? Like what, you know what I mean? Like what's the criteria for liking, do you think?
Well, one of them is like, if your pet died, I'm going to like it. For sure. If you're someone I care about and you overcame an obstacle of some sort, I'm going to like it. It's true, though.
I love this so much. I will always like if you got a new job. I'll always like it no matter what. Mm. If you got a new job, if you got a book deal, if you got anything, if you switched something, any sort of professional milestone, I will always like it. I sometimes don't like. No, I always do. It's a guilt like. I always like when people have a baby.
See, I don't. If someone just had a baby and they just post pictures like with their husband saying these two, that is like, that is like kryptonite to me. I can't. And we have a friend who posts a ton of pictures of her baby, of her kid, not a baby anymore. Yeah. And I adore her.
Yes.
And her kid looks cute, but I will never like them.
I will never like a vacation shot. I will never like a never leaving. I will never ever.
Office for the day.
I live here now. I will. It's just, I won't do it. Even if I'm happy for you in my heart, I will not do it. I will not like your vacation pick. And it's,
I won't like,
yes, go ahead. What else won't you?
I won't like anniversary things.
Oh, I will, just because I'm like, well, you're my friend. I will.
Yeah. No, I should, but I'm small. I'm small.
Well, no, I'm petty in my own way. I have my own pettiness. But I won't, on principle, like a celebrity post. Like, on occasion, I will like a celebrity post. But for the most part, I don't want people to see me liking a celebrity post. I really just...
No, I get that.
No.
You have only ever liked one of my Instagram stories. Like, I pay attention to how many you like, and you've only ever liked one of them. And I don't remember which one it was. And I'm like, does Romolini think I'm using Instagram wrong?
I don't like people's shit. I don't like shit. And part of it is because if you sort of uniformly, you either have to uniformly like everything or you have to kind of like nothing, because there's mm-hmm. a weird thing that happens with people. I can tell, like, if somebody's interested in me, like if they're thinking about me professionally or they're going to ask me a favor or whatever it is, they're just thinking about me when they start liking my posts. Like, you can track people's behavior, you know, on these. And I always feel weirded out by it. I'm like, I mean, although I'm grateful that anybody follows me anywhere, obviously, because these are platforms and we're somewhat public figures and, you know, et cetera.
Yeah.
But sometimes I feel freaked out by the stalking, both from other people and my own stalking. And I try to keep it like, down the down low a little bit, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like if I'm like kind of falling out with somebody or if we're having a tense moment with each other, I don't look at their story because I know they can see that I looked, and that's fucking weird.
Yeah. Or you're just going through Instagram and it came up next,
I guess.
But I know what you mean. I hear you.
I have a person who is like a not an enemy, but we just fell out like years ago. And like, we tried to repair it and it just didn't work. Like, we weren't interested in each other anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She looks at all of my stories, and I stopped following her years ago because I was like, this relationship doesn't really give me anything. And I don't think, you know, it's working. And she looks at all my stories. And not only that, is one of the first people to look at them. And I'm always like a little bit like, why are you looking at me? You don't like me anymore. We're not friends in mm-hmm. real life. You know, I don't know. These behaviors are weird, I feel like. I mean, we've all gotten weird.
They are weird. You know, I mean, I don't give a shit about my most recent ex, but, you know, once every 3 months or so, like I'll like go on to his Instagram to see what's up.
Do you look at his stories?
It's never. No, never, never.
That's what I'm saying. You can't look at stories. That's what I'm saying.
You can't look at stories, and you can't look at videos even, because it tells them who watched that too. So no, I'm very careful.
No, you can't.
Although I am announcing it in a public forum also. But I don't do that thing with social media where I like, you know, if there's an ex I'm curious about, like one of my boyfriend's exes, or I don't go snooping. I've always felt like, this is a different kind of snooping, but I've always felt like if you go looking on someone's email or on their phone or through their private papers, you deserve to find anything you find.
No, I don't.
It's just uncool.
I don't do that either. I do think there is a little bit of like when you first meet somebody or like you're thinking about working with someone or thinking about being friends with the person, there is a sort of weird audition process that happens, not in real life, but over social media, where mm-hmm. the person is kind of checking you out. It's like a new friend is checking you out. And I'm sure this, I mean, I just don't date anybody. I'm not single. I'm sure this happens very intensely if you just started dating someone. But there is like an audition process happening that I feel like used to play out in real life and now plays mm-hmm. out more over social media, which is just so weird. And I'm aware of that. Like when I've just like met somebody and we're really getting along, I'll see them looking at my stories and then I want to perform for them more because mm-hmm. I want them mm-hmm. to keep liking me. You know, I mean, maybe I'm just nuts. I don't know.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense. And I don't know. I find that like, if I look up too many people, it gives me a feeling in my stomach that just isn't good.
No,
it's
I
just
know.
Like,
no, it isn't good. It's like really sickening. You can't really, even like positively looking up people, you just can't, it just needs to be like, it needs to kind of come to you. But also yeah. like I find doing like bits on social media is my favorite way to play, which is the only reason I continue my Jennifer Lopez, Ben Affleck, because it's just like it's innocuous. It's not I don't feel like I'm sharing too much. I feel like I'm in some ways providing a service for others. You know? And it just feels like it's not about masquerading, you know, showing my life in a way that's not, yeah. that's inaccurate to sort of posture and perform in a way. And that the economy of that I hate.
Well, that's why I like Be Real, even though I hate every photograph I've ever, every selfie that I've ever taken on Be Real has been so unflattering.
Oh, it's hideous.
I like the fact that it's like, you know, people showing themselves in their kitchen, you know, sitting at their laptop, doing the shit that we do actually all spend most of our days doing.
I like Be Real too, but it is a little bit Be Boring. It is a little bit it Be is. Boring. Like you just kind it of is. Are like, oh, Be Boring. We're all boring. Like there is that. This is why we enjoy performing content, because otherwise yeah. it's just because the thing is about Be Real, you can't get a good shot because the selfie, the angle.
You can't.
The angle for a good selfie is up. And if you put the and phone up, you can't get the other side.
No, I actually took one yesterday. I took a picture of the dog and I like leaned way over. So I wasn't in the picture at all. And they don't like it when you do that. They'll let you, but they don't like it. They want you to post the really ugly picture.
No, they're just the ugly and the bad lighting, because often it's such a small and interesting technology, because we've adapted so well to taking pictures with the camera facing out and with the camera facing in, and the two don't work really together.
Mm-mm.
You can't really get the shot of what's in front of you and the good shot of yourself at the same time. And so you have to sacrifice one or the other. And by sacrificing the front facing shot, it's so obvious that you're trying to get a glam shot of yourself that it's embarrassing. So it really has disrupted the whole social media thing. I do like it for that reason.
Yeah, I like it for that reason too. I mean, I'm tired. I mean, I can't believe how horrible I look in some of those pictures.
Me neither. I know.
Just unbelievable.
I know. I caught Alex zooming in on my Be Real, and I was like, I know, I look ugly in that picture. And he was like, yeah.
You can't look good. You can't look good in Be Real pictures. It kind of, and in a way that if once you accept that, it's very freeing.
It is.
Well, I'll just look horrible. But the fact that people do zoom in on those pictures is a little chilling.
Oh, yeah.
Like if they're small in the corner, I can live with it. But when they zoom in, it's like, I look like a marshmallow. I just look like a fucking marshmallow.
No, I look like a bug. I just look like a bug. Because all my glasses are way too big for my face, which is a thing that I disguise very carefully. And by design, they're too big for my face because they're also disguising all kinds of aging things on my face. But on Be Real, at that bad angle, I just look like a small-headed bug with giant glasses. It's bad. Let's take a quick break for some ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
And we're back. Can I tell you, my mom was over a couple weeks ago and we were having a visit and we were talking about the podcast and I was talking about you. She's like, what does she look like? And so I showed her a picture and you were wearing your big red sunglasses, and she just started laughing. She was like, that is awesome.
I know. It was a joke and now it's just become the thing. I know.
Well, it's kind of, you are becoming, you do have, because of the way you like to dress, sir, you are skewing wacky old lady.
I know, man.
But then you wear it with a little crop top or something and you don't look old ladyish.
It's all right. I've been trying to be sexier. That's my new thing. I'm bringing sexy back.
I would like to, you know, once again, it gets back to my, like, I would like a makeover thought.
Yeah.
Because I never felt comfortable dressing sexy. When I was younger, I kind of did in my 30s, maybe early 40s. And then, you know, how you dress changes. And I don't know. I'm just so bored with how I dress. I'm so bored with all my clothes.
Yeah. I mean, I got really into a good vintage skirt game over the summer, like just really got some good skirts. And I've been very tank topping. I've been just tank topping all the time. And the other day I was with my kid and they were playing with my arm flap, like just on my side and playing with my arm and going, oh, wow, mom, your arm's really flabby. And I said, are you body shaming me right now? Because I'm feeling a little bit like you're picking at my body. And they said, mm-hmm. Oh, no, I love your arm. And like did this very tender thing and put their hand on my arm. And I realized that I've never introduced to them that I don't like a flabby arm. And so it didn't even occur to them to think anything negative of it when they were sort of like squishing my arm around. They were just lovingly squishing my arm around.
Well, that's a testament to your skills as a mother, you know, that you committed to never talking that way in front of your kid. And that made a difference.
It was actually a real revelation. It was a real revelation that if you don't talk about your body, and I never have, I've been very careful. I mean, I think the thoughts, I say them to Alex, I talk to my friends about them. I'm not like above those body hating thoughts, but
you're careful in front of her.
I'm careful. But anyway, I've been wearing a lot of tank tops. I've basically gone back to my college fashion, which was cutoffs, tank tops, and Birkenstocks. I'm basically 21 again. I've just been doing it. I'm like, whatever. It just is what it is. But I went to a book reading last night and I wore a mini dress, which with shorts underneath it, I did not sit down the whole time. I was like, I can't, like, there's no way I could sit down in this. This is a cute dress that will either be worn with tights or I will only be upright. Like,
that's hilarious.
Because because I just don't want the texture of my leg against a chair.
It doesn't feel good when you,
no.
Yeah,
no,
it's not a good feeling. And it can be not a good look.
I've been looking at some older women. I've been seeing a lot of good, like nipped in. I know you don't like a nipped in dress, but I've been seeing some good nipped in shirt dresses, like with like a little bit of elastic nip or like a tie around the waist with like, you know, not quite a short sleeve, but that like mid short sleeve, which is actually flattering cut.
Mm-hmm.
I saw an older woman yesterday she had like a really cute bob that it was like she had obviously like set. It was like rolled. It was like one of those like 70s bobs that like has like a wave to it. It was really nice. Mm-hmm. And it was like a gray blonde, and she had on a shirt dress and flats. And I was like a Chanel cap toe flat. And I was like, that's fucking cute. That woman yeah. who's like 65 looks cute. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm always looking.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And I feel like, but I don't know. I don't feel like I like what you said. I don't feel like I see people older than me that often.
I know. I really have to like scope them out. I mean, or go to the desert where they all live. or I bet if we
yeah,
went to
I just,
Florida.
If we went to Florida, I mean, I'm especially skewed because I was around such kids. Like at the, before the shows, the kids like change and the girls put on makeup and a lot of the boys put on makeup too. And so I would sometimes, because it was exactly the point in the day when I was starting to look really haggard, like yeah. right before showtime. So I started asking the girls to put like eyeliner on me when they were doing their own makeup.
Yeah.
And we were talking about eyebrows and eyelashes. And I was like, yeah, you know, they go away. You get older, you lose your eyebrows and eyelashes. And the girl who was doing my makeup was like, that's so interesting. And I was like, you're going to have another word for it than interesting when it happens to you.
You know, it's weird. It's weird hanging out, like even hanging out with people in their like late 20s, early 30s. I don't care about the same things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm caring about those things less. And one of the reasons that I choked on that story was because I don't care about relevance and paying attention to things in the way I was paying attention to them. Like I still pay attention to things, but in order to write for the internet, like the young people who write for the internet, they just have like a currency, like a fluency, you know, they just like have a fluency and it's not even the internet, but it's just like being out at bars and just like hearing things, having your like, you know, like, do you remember being that person? You just understood you were up to the minute on what was happening in the world.
Yes. But you know, my older brother said, and I think I've said it on the podcast before, my older brother said something to me when I worked at New York Magazine. He said, the problem with your life is that nothing new is new enough and nothing cool is cool enough.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's an exhausting way to fucking live. I'm very happy not to live that way anymore.
I don't care. Like I look through tabloid magazines. I don't know who 70% of the people are. And I'm like, I don't care about that. Like there's just things I don't care about. And the thing is, a lot of writing right now, especially if you're writing online, if you're not writing like a first person essay or you're not writing a reported piece, if you're writing anything that's like a take, there's so much to take into consideration. Like what's going on Twitter? Oh my God. How, mm-hmm. Who's Tony Pizza? You know, like there's just so much and you have to really be voracious for it because if not, you kind of sound out of touch.
Yeah.
And I just can't get it up for that anymore. I just
want
to live.
Good thing.
It totally is. It totally is. But it means having to readjust. And I think this happens in our lives, in who we wind up dating, who we wind up being friends with, these kinds of adjustments where you're like, I don't really care anymore. And I can force myself to care, but it's not where I want to put my energy. It's not where I'm at anymore. And those mm-hmm. moments, I think, as we get older are so telling because they really lead us down a different path. I mean, I'm sure you're seeing this with some people, you know, or whatever it is like, oh, I'm not interested. I don't really care anymore. And I can continue yeah. to force myself to engage in this kind of conversation or whatever it is, or I can move on to where I actually feel like there's interest, even if that feels like, I mean, it's not gardening, but you know what I mean? Even if that's like old yeah. lady shit, like, the other day I was watching someone on, speaking of social media, on a loom. And I was like, man, mm-hmm. I want to fucking learn how to loom.
Well, you know that Peggy Orenstein, who we had as a guest on yes. this show, decided like she's a knitter. And yes. then she decided, okay, I want to actually shear a sheep.
Yes.
And make yarn. and knit something. Like, I want to do it from beginning to end. And she's like written a book about it. I think it sounds really cool because you do. And I admire my mom for this too. Like, she will pick up a new thing very easily. You know, you can get rid of the things that no longer interest you, but it is important and not especially easy to find the things that interest you now.
Well, and it's
hard, not always easy.
And it's hard to let go of things that were like so much a part of your identity. Like, you know, a byline. Ooh, you know, like, yeah. I can't believe I passed up a byline. And I just had a moment where I was like, I don't fucking care. Like, what a weird feeling to have. I hadn't had that in 30 years. It like defined me, like caring about that shit, you know?
Yeah.
So interesting.
It's freeing.
It's really actually freeing once you get over the torment of, oh, wait, I'm changing. Oh, God, I'm moving into a different person. Who is it? Like, once you get over the panic, it's actually totally liberating. Speaking of liberating, I read an excellent fucking book on vacation.
What?
Dirtbag Massachusetts by Isaac Fitzgerald.
Oh, I've read about this guy. Yes.
Okay. So I will tell you, and this is not because I'm some like social justice warrior or whatever, fucking super feminist. I don't remember the last time I read anything, a book, let's say, by a straight white man. I really don't remember the last time I really engaged with a straight white man's work. And I'd seen this book had been on my radar for a minute. It's a memoir about masculinity, really, right? So it's not only just a book about a straight white man. It's about a man really grappling with his masculinity in a really profound way. I read it in 2 days. I can't stop thinking about it. And it's one of those books where you almost become codependent with the author. Like, you feel very close to them. You feel like you really know them and you're very invested in who they are. The writing is beautiful. It's about things that there's a point where he's in porn. He's a porn actor.
Right.
It just happens, but it's not like, it doesn't feel like stunt journalism. He's telling the story of his life. And this just happens to be one of the stories of his life, but it's also really tender and it's excellent. Really one of the best books I've read in forever.
Well, I haven't read any book lately, but I did read an article it's the 10-year anniversary of Tinder, the 10-year birthday of Tinder. So New York Magazine did a whole package this week. And the main piece is an essay by this woman talking about she joined Tinder not long after it launched and her decade on Tinder. And it's the best piece about app dating I've ever read.
Okay.
Because it, you know, there are people who are very, you know, I do think Tinder is a cesspool. I got very lucky on Tinder, but I think it is.
Yeah.
It can be awful. But the truth is, it's also the only game in town for a lot of us.
Right.
Who don't like habitually meet new people.
Right. Right.
And so there are also good memories attached to it. And like, you know, fun one night stands, and there's just a lot of gray. And I thought it was a piece that really dealt with a lot of the gray and a lot of the like ick also of Tinder.
So what about like Raya? Like, what is that? Is that even one? Are there any good
Raya's for famous people.
Okay.
But it has like, I've seen it because a friend of Paul's has it, and it's a lot of, like, at least the women are a lot of influencers.
Okay.
And things. And I think they've loosened up. Like, I think they let in more people now, but that's Raya. None of them are good. None of them are good. The one that people seem to like is Field, which is like a kink one.
Okay.
But a lot of people who are not especially kinky use it because people are pretty respectful and kind on it.
Okay. Okay.
And accepting, but none of them are good.
Okay.
You know, none of them are like, oh, this is where the smart people go. I mean, they've tried to do that, but it doesn't work.
Why do you think it doesn't work?
Because, I mean, you have to have a certain mass of people on there.
Right.
You know, you have to have a minimum number of people, and you just can't be that choosy.
Right. Right, 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 right.
And I mean, it's what Raya does. Raya does do that. Raya, you have to apply to.
Right, right. I knew somebody who was on Raya, but then it turned out I didn't know this. I was like, oh, you're on Raya. And she showed me it. And it's really, it was really strange looking at it because it's the profiles are very elaborate and they have like backgrounds and it's very like,
and music.
Yes. It's very atmospheric, right? There's like, you know, landscapes and shit. And then I knew her for like 2 years and it never occurred to me that she was, the daughter of a very famous person. She had a very famous person's last name, but it just, I had not put them together. But yeah, I guess Raya is for famouses. I don't know. I also know, I know some women out here who are my age, but on Instagram appear about 10 years younger because they face tune their faces so much. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, face tunes like outside of, so they look like little kittens. They look like little baby mm-hmm. kittens. Mm-hmm. And then like they, you know, they even like Photoshop their bodies. And I guess Instagram is also used as a, like a hookup,
a dating,
like a, yeah.
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard that.
And they go on dates with they're my age and they go on dates with celebrity, male celebrities who are in their 60s. And I'm like, well, that's an interesting thing to do. Yeah. I don't know. Great. I mean, I don't fucking yeah. know, but I just am always like, well, what happens if you've filtered your face so much, what happens when you show up as a person?
I wonder that too. I wonder that too. I mean, we all put our most flattering pictures. So there, nobody, I mean, my theory is like a person, when I was dating online, a person is only as attractive as their least attractive photo.
Yes. Yes. But still, even then you're going to, no, it's funny though, because even with the filters and everything, like sometimes I'll even have tricked myself. Like I'll look at a picture of myself from like 2 years ago and I'll be like, wow, I was so much younger looking 2 years ago. And then I'm like, wait a second, that fucking thing is filtered. Like I'm
that's
like,
hilarious.
I've fucking fooled myself. Like this is ridiculous.
That's funny. I mean, we've all had, everybody who dates online has at least once shown up for a date with somebody who looks nothing like their profile pictures. Just absolutely like it. Maybe they use someone else's pictures.
Do you think there are ways to tell? Are there tells that somebody has, does not look like that before you meet them? Like while you were dating, were you like, okay, I spot this and now I know, you know, if a guy does this,
I'm sure that a savvier person has tells. I mean, mine is just like, you know, really look, you know, don't fall in love with the first picture because the first picture is always like, you know, at the very least, the most flattering picture of that person that was ever taken.
I've heard that men hold up fish a lot.
They hold up fish. They have. I had a few rules. I wouldn't swipe right on somebody who had a gym picture. There are a lot of gym pictures. I won't swipe right on somebody who is on a private jet because there's a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And I won't swipe right on anybody who has a picture of themselves with a celebrity, which almost caused me to swipe left on Paul because he had a picture of himself with Devo. But I decided that was kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. Wait, why didn't you swipe on a private jet?
Because it's like because you know the guy works for like the fucking catering company and he just like had his friend take a picture of him.
Oh.
You know, they don't look like people who actually spend time on private jets.
Who actually have money.
And also just anybody who thinks that like, ooh, I'll put a picture of a private jet, the babes will really think that's hot. Like yeah. that, it just doesn't work.
That is gross. And the gym, why? Because why?
Because they're always pictures of themselves, like in their workup gear, doing a selfie in front of the mirror. It's just like, you can do better than that.
How do you feel to be back home?
It feels nice. I mean, today I have to drive Paul to Pennsylvania to catch up with the end of the last tour, the third tour of the summer.
Oh, my God.
I know. So And then I pick him up in Philly in about a week at the end of tour. And then we go out to Sag Harbor for the rest of the summer. So I'm really looking forward to that. But no, it feels really good. Like everything feels good about being home. It feels good to like be on my sofa. It feels good to shower in my shower. It feels good to sleep in my bed.
Yeah.
Good. It feels good to see my dog.
Good.
Like that all feels very good.
Good, 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 good.
Should we read some reviews? We have some nice new reviews.
Oh yeah, let's read some reviews. We could do that.
Okay, you want me to go first?
Yes, you go first.
Okay, West Coast Girl says, EIF keeps me sane. Longtime listener, first time reviewer here. I was so happy to find this podcast and welcome it into my routine, usually while going for a walk or commuting or on public transit. The transition from city girl 40s to more suburban 50s during a pandemic, no less, has been disorienting and lonely at times. Tuning in to hear Kim and Jen's honest and unvarnished takes on their own lives and bigger issues affecting women has given me hope and sustenance. Keep rocking it, ladies. We all Gen Xers need you. Very nice.
Amazing. Okay, this is CatLady137, last week's episode. I love this podcast. It's a great self-indulgent start to my week before I have to deal with the hard, awful news we all seem to face these days. And I wanted to update my earlier review because your responses to that made me love you even more. I don't know what that was, Cat Lady, but thank you for...
Cat Lady. No, I do. Mm-hmm. Cat Lady is the one who called me on it for saying that a feminist had a facelift.
Oh, yes. Yes. Feminist facelift, which is what I should have titled that episode. I don't know why.
Oh, well, sometimes it comes to you a few days later.
Oh, totally. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Mama Bug 24 says, I feel heard. I started listening shortly after EIF began and only wish I'd reviewed this podcast sooner. I know Kim understands me the same way she did back in the 80s, 90s when I read Sassy in spite of my mom's disapproval but didn't care. Kim and Jen are like the cool sisters I wish I could have. This podcast offers some fantastic interviews while also giving me comfort. Thank you for helping me feel less alone. Please know a huge fan from Salt Lake City appreciates you.
I love that so much. And also, I've been really... we have listeners all over the place, which is... wild to me. I can't believe how many states and countries our listeners in. Thank you all for being here from such far.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's always it's one of the coolest things to me about the podcast. This is from Roblox Lover 222. Listening to EIF is one of the highlights of my week. It makes the world feel a little less lonely. Listening to two friends talk to each other in much the same way I talk to mine. It's authentic, funny, and smart. The best. Thank you very much, Roblox Lover 222.
Nice.
Nice.
Thank you for sending these in. We really appreciate it. And it helps people find the show.
It helps. That's the thing. It helps people find the show and it helps us grow the show. And I don't know. I think at some point that's going to really matter to us. I don't know. I mean, this is my favorite project I work on. So I guess I should try to keep doing it somehow.
Me too.
All right. Well, I think we did a show. 55 minutes and 11 seconds. Kim Franz, I missed you. I'm happy to see you again.
I'm happy to see you.
We have some fun guests coming up in the next month. So thanks everybody for being here. And we are back together from here out. Thanks for listening to Everything Is Fine. We're your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France.
If you like the show, please rate and review it on the platforms like we just talked about it. It really helps people find us. If you want to support the show, support the production of the show, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/everythingisfine. We will be back this month holding live events on Patreon. We blog there. We release special bonus episodes there as well. If you want to follow us on social media, we're at EIF Podcast on Instagram. We have a robust and private Facebook group. We are on Twitter. We also have an email address. You can email us at everythingisfinethepodcast@gmail.com. You can find Kim on her blog, girlsofacertainage.com. You can find me on tinyletter.com/Jennifer Romolini. The show is mixed and edited by the great Natalie Rivera. Thank you so much, Natalie, for your help. And we'll be back next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.